All right, let's keep it going. The next speaker for the CRA in Practice Dev Room is Achim Friedland, and he's going to talk about CRA by design, protocol embedded compliance for EV charging infrastructure. Take it away, sir.
Oh, thank you. I hope you can hear me. Yes, as you see, we keep in the area of electric mobility, but we switch a little bit to private battery electric e-mobility. And as you can see, already 2,400 years ago, Mr. Plato tried to charge his e-donkey, and it didn't work. The problem here is, EV charging is no longer really a nice Internet of Broken Things topic. It's getting like Deutsche Bahn into the area of critical infrastructure. But the manufacturers are perhaps not yet there. This talk is more about architecture, not legal interpretations. And it's a little bit, because we are practical guys, a mixture of Cyber Resilience Act and NIS2, because both, from a technical perspective, solve similar problems, even when the regulation is very different. So keep this in mind. I'm not a lawyer here. Come on. You have noticed immobility is exploding, but it's still the same old ship and forget mentality. Security, resilience, updatability, lifecycle management, audibility. It's a little bit better in Germany because, you know, Germans like it in a correct way, but Germans are also very known for they do not care about the end user. So this created a lot of technical debt over the last 15 years of e-mobility. And how can we start to solve that? One problem is EV charging is not a very simple domain. Perhaps the most common use case is when you think you go to a charging station, stand in front of a charging station, you have a display. Then it's quite simple because you have a product with digital elements and a user is using it directly. That's fine. That is more or less also in scope of the Cyber Resilience Act. But we are also connecting a car. Perhaps we're sitting in a car and remote control the charging station via the car. Then the Cyber Resilience Act is no longer the only thing we have to respect. There are other regulations. We have to do something about it. Normal way would be now we open Excel, create a mapping table between the one regulation and the other regulation, and just be happy with compliance. But again, we are not here for compliance. We are here for architecture and technology. The next thing is we have a problem. Perhaps we have a charging station, perhaps we have a local controller because of energy grid swings and so on. But then we go through a long path of software as a service systems. So they are not regulated in the Cyber Resilience Act. Perhaps some of them will be in the future regulated under NIS2. We have some strange definition in the Cyber Resilience Act, the foreseeable use. And the foreseeable use, obviously, they are included in this path. So at the moment, we do not know how we really have to solve this problem. We will see in the future if those entities which are software as a service will be somehow regulated, or if a manufacturer can say something about the minimum requirements of these entities in the middle. But at the moment, we don't know. So we had a lot of other nice regulations. Everybody knows we use RFID cards for authentication at charging station. They do not provide any kind of security. We have other strange things like MAC addresses of the car, which, you know, is even worse than RFID. We have a German calibration law, as I said, a wonderful regulation. We have digital signatures on measurement values. But how the user should use it and how the user even gets them, that's not part of this regulation. So it's not working. We have ISO 15118, which is talking a lot about cryptography and so on, But it's just the first meter. It's just on the charging cable. And we have a radio equipment directive, and it's active since last August. And we see the only, I should not cross this line. And we see the what the manufacturers are really doing is they do not improve security. They remove features that operators depend on, because they argue now, oh, it's now secure and you no longer can use this. But for example, when you want to read your own diagnostics log files, you can download it from the device. It will be encrypted and you can send it to us via email. We send you the log files back via email. I do not know if this is really a solution to a security problem, but this is what happens in the market today. So I would say EU Red also failed. When specs fail to produce trust, well, we know it already. Secure is not deployed. Security compliance is not trust. And the intent to improve security, but with a solution which lowers security, like this, we send you the diagnostic information via email, is not perhaps the evidence that we really produced more security. And as you know, once a standard or specification is out, it ossifies very fast, and you have really hard time to improve something. So we want to use now both regulations as design inputs and go away from security and resilience just as best effort, and happens perhaps when a manufacturer has a good day or on a bad day, we don't have so much real security. So for the engineers, what does this mean? We have now to think a little bit what must be enabled or disabled by default for this charging station. What kind of data or information must be observable? What must be provable years later? You know, when we talk about charging stations, we have payments and we have regulations far away from technology. Let's say when you have a business process, you have to provide evidence.